Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Can you imagine being in a car crash and then waking up from a coma? Or can you imagine being the only backseat survivor? Or making a life and death decision by changing seats before the crash? Have you ever wanted to meet a miracle child? Can you imagine being called the queen of survivors? Tell me, do you know what it means to begin your life again, mentally, physically, emotionally, and financially? When was the last time you heard about someone who not only can survive, but they have thrived despite traumatic setbacks? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers to these questions? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, my guest is a wonderful person, and it's the first time she's been on the show. She's going to share her information and inspiration with us from a traumatic event that occurred in her life. Before I introduce our guest, I would love to have you call in during the show if you have any questions. The call-in number is 818-431-8506. I'm pleased to announce that our show today is featured on the front page at Blog Talk Radio, and I am honored to be a featured host. Also, my profile at LinkedIn is in the top 5% for 2012, which is, I'm very proud of that. Now, let me tell you about our guest today. She is known as the Queen of Survival and the Miracle Child. Our guest is an internationally recognized expert in overcoming adversity and concussion. As the only backseat survivor in a fatal car crash, this 22-year-old Ball State senior had to learn how to begin her life again, mentally, physically, emotionally, and financially. Over the years, she has overcome her many life-altering experiences with success and has emerged as an expert on surviving and thriving through life's challenges and trials. My guest is an award-winning keynote speaker for seminars, conferences, and meetings for corporations, nonprofits, with recently speaking for the Indianapolis Colts and the Baltimore Ravens rookies as part of the NFL's Rookie Success Program. She is also an NCAA registered speaker and has appeared on television and radio venues around the country, including ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and now Blog Talk Radio. My guest is a contributing author to 3 books and has published numerous articles. I am so pleased to welcome Darcy Keith to the show. Hi, Darcy. How are you today?
Hi, January. I'm great. How are you?
Wonderful. I have been looking forward to this interview because your background, your bio is amazing. Now, prior to this horrific car crash in which you were the only survivor?
I was the only survivor in the back seat. The driver and the front seat passenger had also lived.
Wow. And right before you left in the car, you changed seats? Well, how did that come about?
I did, and you know what? I don't know, because my sister was like, Darcy, she goes, you always, in our family vehicle, sit behind the passenger.
The whole
way to Morehead State University to do, conduct our rush parties and all the way on the way back, I sat in the middle because of the five of us, I had the longest legs, and that would give me the most leg room.
So, January, okay.
I have no idea why I switched behind and sat behind the driver unless it was divine intervention and God sticking a little message in my ear or something. I don't know, but I don't know why I switched to sit behind the driver.
Mm-hmm. You know, Darcy, I'm noticing you have such a lovely soft-spoken voice, but I'm going to have you amp it up a little bit for the broadcast because I want to make sure everyone hears your story.
Okay.
After the crash, who was driving? Where were you going? How did this day start out for you?
Sure. Is this a little bit better now?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Much better.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Our national sorority contacted us to go to another college to start a chapter of our sorority at that college. So with me being the rush chairman of our sorority at our college, I gathered four sorority sisters, and we went to Morehead State University in Morehead, Kentucky, which is about 180 miles from Ball State one way.
Mm-hmm.
So after we were conducted rush parties that day, we headed back towards Ball State, and that's when our car crash happened.
And was it a head-on, or what happened? How did it come about?
What happened was, I don't know if you've, Janie, if you've ever been on the interstate when a semi has blown by you, or any of your listeners have had it, that gust of wind that semi produces when it drives by. Well, the driver of our car felt that gust of wind when the first semi went by.
Mm-hmm.
When a second semi went by, she felt like she was being sucked under, or the car was being sucked under the trailer of the second semi. So she overcorrected the car, and it spun, and it landed perpendicular in the middle of the road. A third semi saw us but could not stop in time. He aimed for the trunk to minimize damage, and he hit the trunk, climbed up on top of the car, crushing to death my sorority sister sitting behind the passenger. The one in the middle of the back seat was flipped upside down and died of a broken neck.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
None of us in the back seat were buckled at all. The two in the front were buckled, and they walked away with minor injuries. But because I was not buckled in the back seat, my head hit the side window behind the driver, and then in the front seat, I was like a human pinball because I was not buckled, and that's where I got my injuries.
Okay. Well, that's a big message about seatbelts, isn't it?
It is. And fortunately, I was privileged in 2007-2008 to testify for the Indiana State Legislature a seatbelt law, which was passed for seatbelts and backseats of automobiles. I mean, it's kind of a hard lesson to learn, but, you know, when something like that happens, you don't want it to happen to anybody else. You want other folks to learn from your mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know this is the same movement with the drunk drivers, MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. When that happens to your child, you don't want it to happen to anyone else, and it makes people want to get out there and be activists on that, and I admire you for doing that. When so the crash happened, it must have been just a most chaotic thing. You probably still have nightmares about it. How soon before help got to you?
From what I'm told, because I was in a coma, it just immediately sent me into a coma, and help got, I think, pretty quickly, maybe within, because the semi driver, he didn't see it, but other semi drivers saw it and called on the radios. I would guess maybe an hour or so. I'm not sure, but when they got to me, they couldn't find my pulse. So it was must have been fairly quickly after the injury or after the crash happened, because then they, even though they couldn't find my pulse, they lifelined me and everything was fine.
Yeah. Wow. We're going to take a break now and hear about your host today. When we come back, Darcy, I want you to share your website with my listeners, and also I want you to share what it was like for your convalescence, how long you were in the hospital, and what it took to get you back to where you are now. We'll be right back with Darcy Keith.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shalt Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back with my guest, Darcy Keith. And Darcy, could you share your website information and also tell us about the three books that you've contributed to?
Sure. My website information, my email or my website address is www.darcykeith, and I'll go ahead and spell that. It is darcykeith.com. And the three books from which I'm a contributing author, I'm one for a faith-based book. I'm a contributing author to another book called Women Like Us, Real Stories and Strategies for Living Your Best Life. And the third book is called Leading the Way, Leadership Stories and Inspiration, I believe, for Leaders.
Okay.
So those
and
are the three books.
And they're available at Amazon?
I believe they are on Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. So I think, you know, more inspiring stories. I probably would like to interview everyone in those books. Now, when you got to the hospital and you were in a coma, how long were you in a coma for?
I was in a coma for 6 days. And when I woke up out of that coma January, it wasn't like I just knew what was going on around me like some people do or like TV portrays. Because when I woke up, I had to learn how to live all over again.
Really?
I had to learn how to eat, how to breathe, how to walk, how to talk, how to think, how to drive, how to be potty trained. You mentioned in your intro everything, you know, losing everything mentally, physically, emotionally. That's where I was. I couldn't do anything for myself because from those injuries and my left lobe and my right frontal lobe brain injury, or two brain injuries here, I had paralysis on my body's right side, kind of like if you know someone who's had a stroke and half their brain, their opposite side of their body was affected. That was the same way with me. So when I woke up from a coma, I had to learn how to live all over again with my injuries as well as the mental and the connectability in my brain of not working.
Did you, when you woke up, did you know who people were?
That's a great question, and I knew who a lot of people were, but there were some people I did not know. But I, again, coming out of a coma, it was a foggy coma, so I may recollect some people, and then I may not. So again, my brain wasn't working quite right.
Uh-huh.
It's still trying to connect. It's still trying to work.
And how long were you when you were in the coma for 6 days, and then you had to probably go to a rehab center?
I did. I went to a rehab center, Hook Rehab, here in Indianapolis at Community East Hospital. And through that, I was an inpatient for a while. But they helped me relearn how to connect and how to use words and how the different types of therapies. You have, you know, your physical therapy, your recreational therapy, your occupational speech. So just trying to get all that together, and I felt like I was back in first or second grade because you're shown pictures, you have to do sequences, you have to do word association games, just to try to get your brain working again.
And how long were you in rehab?
That is another really good question, and a lot of folks ask me that when I speak at conferences, and I mentioned to them, how long do you think it would take a person to learn how to, you know, eat, breathe, walk, talk, think, drive, be potty trained, and everything but driving.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the doctors may mention like 18 months or 2 years. Several other folks do that. When I've spoken for a couple of attorneys groups, of course, they're very calculated in their estimation. But the typical response I get is 18 months. At least that's from – but the crash happened September 12th.
Uh-huh.
I was discharged to go back to Ball State University as a full-time student on November 7th.
Wow.
Less than 2 months. And that includes the time for the coma. And that's why they called me the miracle child, January, is because I was overcoming the odds and beating things, and just my brain was healing and my body was healing so quickly that it was, to them it seemed like a miracle. But I don't consider it my abilities. I consider it God's grace.
Okay. And that's why they call you the queen of survival. That's such an accelerated rehab. You know, I agree with you. You must have had divine intervention helping you get through that. And you were able to go back to college and finish the year out, right?
I did go back to college, but with my left brain injury, I lost memory of my entire major in college. So as I know, it was crazy, January. As a senior, I just completed an 8-month internship with a company that promised me a job. 3 weeks into the fall semester of my senior year that I went back, that's when the crash happened, and I lost memory of my major. So I lost my potential job. I lost even the ability to do a job because I couldn't remember anything associated with that major. So when I went back to Ball State, I had to change majors and start all over again.
Oh, my gosh. And this was in your senior year.
Yes, was in my senior year. You know, when you have college, you know, you see it on the horizon, like, it's so reachable, and then now it's gone. It's crazy.
Anyway, well, then, what major did you choose for your next go-around?
My next go-around, well, I was an actuarial science major, and actuaries are the numbers behind insurance company or insurance policies and things. I decided to major in insurance because it was somewhat related, even though it was in a different college, the College of Math versus the College of Business.
Mm-hmm.
But I also felt that major I could get out of college the quickest because I already had a couple of insurance classes under my belt. So I went back to college, and I took classes, and I graduated a year and a half later, you know, through an intense study.
And so now you went into the insurance business, I assume. And
yes.
Then when did you start your speaking career and this fabulous sharing your story with everyone?
I started my speaking career approximately 1994-95-ish with high school students because, again, sharing that, hey, you can act like teenagers, you can have a great time, because I did, but I didn't think about the consequences of my actions.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing that in 1995, and I started speaking at conference. My first one was in 2002 as a keynote speaker for a bunch of a group association of financial aid administrators, and then it's gone on into more, you know, corporations, more different organizations, now all the way up to the NFL, which is very exciting for me.
What an amazing experience that must have been for you. So you slowly started out one conference at a time and gradually built yourself a new career. So
yes.
You now have two careers.
Yes.
And when you look back on this whole situation, tell me, do you keep in touch with the families of the girls who did not survive the crash?
I do. In fact, I went to visit on one of my speaking opportunities down in Kentucky. I stopped by one of the fathers or the parents of the one of the girls that had passed away and visited with him for a little while. We send Christmas cards. We send emails. We talk. The other family, one of their daughters got married, and I went to their wedding.
Okay.
We still keep in touch. So, yes, I think that's very, very important.
Oh, I'm sure it's like you're it probably helps them to see you that you survived and that you're doing well. You know, I think that must be a great comfort for them. It's wonderful that you still continue to stay in touch with them. When you look back on this adversity, you say your faith plays a big part in this. Now, were you particularly religious prior to the accident?
I would say yes. I mean, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I went and I grew up in a Christian household.
Uh-huh.
So when I saw these changes in my body daily, mm-hmm. and then the hospital, like one day I may only be able to jump one jump on a jump rope, and
yeah.
the next day
yeah.
like seven or eight, and it was just very exciting. When I saw these, that, of course, strengthened my faith, and including the faith of those around me. When my parents took me to church on the weekends, on weekend mm-hmm. passes, mm-hmm. one lady came up to me right before I left the hospital and told me that just seeing how I've changed renewed her faith in the Lord because of just seeing the improvement and the miraculous things mm-hmm. that he was doing in my life.
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful. You know, we're going to take a break and hear from one of my sponsors. And when we come back with Darcy Keith, I want to ask her about if she experienced survivor's guilt and also about the circumstances that she's gone through with high school exchange student, foreign country, and being a victim of domestic violence. We'll be right back with Darcy Keith.
Are you a fitness professional, a trainer, or a coach? Would you like consistent and timely updates on your team's performance? We have a completely customizable app that can give you real-time information via the internet or your handheld phone. Track the performance of your client's progress with their physical fitness regimen. Track team members' performance or schedule a workout session. Meet up at the gym, on the bike trail, or wherever your physical activities take you. The app is called Socially Fit, or SoFit, and can be found on the iTunes Store. Look for the blue Socially Fit icon. When combined with data analysis capabilities, you not only feel the effects of your fitness routine, you also see the graphical progress of your results. The app makes the complex simple, so that more of your time is spent sculpting your physique, with less time tracking your results with old-fashioned pen and paper. Download it today to begin a new year with data to show your progress in meeting your goals. Are you socially fit?
I sure hope you are. I know I'm trying to become socially fit this year. You know, Darcy, before we go on with your interview, we have a caller, and
okay.
I'd like to take this call. Hello, caller. Are you on the line?
Hello, January. This is
Hello. I know who this is. This is my dear friend, Perry Kelly. Thank you for calling in, Perry.
You're welcome, January. I'm glad that you thank you for inviting me, but I wanted to tell Darcy that I admire her greatly, and I respect her for how she was able to pick up the pieces with her life shattered the way it was and to move on in such a positive direction. Darcy, that's wonderful.
Thank you, Perry.
Yeah, Darcy, Perry's been on my show before, and he was in a horrific automobile accident, and he is actually paralyzed still, but he has created an amazing career for himself, and just like you, if you're the queen of survivors, I think he's the king of survivors.
Great to meet you, Perry.
Nice
thank
to meet you, Darcy.
Thank you for calling in, Perry. It's nice. It's always wonderful to hear from you. Okay, Darcy, now talk about, did you have survivor's guilt?
Yeah, that's another good question, and I did not. In fact, when they told me that my two sorority sisters next to me died, and they told me this in a therapy session with all of my doctors and my mother there, I turned to my mom and said, why didn't I die? Now, that
mm-hmm.
you may think, you know, that's guilt, but there's a bigger purpose. And I didn't let that stop me. I didn't think, oh, well, I should have died or yes, I wanted to know why didn't I die. But
mm-hmm.
there's a bigger purpose. And we can ask why all of our lives, but there's a bigger purpose and there's a plan. So I dismissed that, and I just thought, okay, there's something I need to do, and I just set out to find that.
Okay, well, that it's better than to wallow in survivor's guilt. You discovered your mission and your passion, and it was a bigger contribution to everyone by doing that. Now let's talk a little bit about other things that you have survived. High school exchange student, where you didn't know the language, and then being a victim of domestic violence.
Yes.
How did that come down, and what's the secret to embracing change?
Well, I think first off, the exchange student experience was unique, and going to a different country where I didn't really know the language, I learned to survive and thrive through that. Being a victim of domestic violence actually stemmed from this car crash where my former husband, because of my brain injury, said kept putting me down, kept abusing me, and physically. And finally, I had enough, and then I went to court. All that I learned how I picked myself up and how I moved on, how I moved through that change. Was several different things. One, I surrendered. I let go of what I couldn't control. A lot of things happened to us, and I couldn't control. I was a victim of domestic violence, except I could get myself out of that. I did not play the victim attitude, which, like you have, don't whine. I didn't whine. I did say, poor me, why me?
That's important.
It is, January. Mm-hmm. It is important not to play that victim attitude. But I exemplified a positive attitude.
Right.
I thought, you know what, there is something I can do about this, and I can live a better life. And just having that attitude and getting out of bed with having the paralysis on half my body, I could have been very, very upset and just looked at things. But now I do everything with a positive attitude because I've been down to the depths. I know what it's like to feel that. And added negative attitudes do service to no one. I mean, positive attitudes allow us to live longer, healthier, happier lives, and they also help us manage stress.
So now let me ask you one more question. This is our last question. When you were at the NFL camp, did you meet any cute guys?
I did. Andrew Luck is pretty cute.
Okay.
But Torrey Smith with the Ravens, he's very nice as well.
When they saw you walk in, because you are just gorgeous, as everyone will see when they look at our show page, they must have been thrilled to have you as their speaker.
They were very attentive, which was great, and I don't know if that was my personal story or my steps for them making good decisions in life, the content. So I hope to think it's the content, because I got some great reviews from rookies afterwards that they recorded for me. But,
nice to get the message from a beautiful woman. I think that helps, especially in an all-male training camp. Darcy, it's been wonderful talking to you today, and I do hope you will come back on our show again.
I'd love to keep
me posted on your career, and you're doing a great job, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, January, and thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show.
It's been wonderful. To my listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today, and be sure to catch our interviews and all of our amazing guests with constant streaming at blogtalkradio.com 24/7. My upcoming guests for the rest of this week are all amazing. They will astonish you. They are exciting, eclectic, and energizing. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful, too. If you've enjoyed our show today and our interview, please click the follow tab under my picture and become a regular listener by registering with blogtalkradio.com/January Jones. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful no whining world. See, Darcy doesn't whine, so there's no need for you to whine. We really love sharing our stories and secrets for success. It's our hope that we can encourage all of our listeners to emulate our guests today and every day. Now, remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. And now for my chocolate comment of the day. I have this theory that chocolate slows down the aging process. It may not be true, but I don't dare take a chance on this one. So for now, everyone, stop your whining. Start smiling, and start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate. Lots and lots of chocolate. Thank you to Darcy Keith. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.